Well, I don't mean to do all the preaching, but I believe the Lord wants His Word preach. And since this is my whole life is wrapped up in serving the Lord, that's my life. That's where that I get my blessings from, is serving the Lord, working for God. I love to work for the Lord. He's the best paymaster I've ever worked for. And He's most faithful one I've ever had a privilege to work for. And I love working for the Lord. I love to work for the Lord. And this is where I look for all of my recreation. This is where I get my recreation, is working for the Lord. Entertainment. Most all of my entertainment comes through working, serving the Lord. And I don't have any very much responsibility for my own self. Got a house over there that sits over there and nobody lives in it much. So it don't get very dirty, so it don't take much to clean it up. And nobody to cook for myself, so that ain't very hard to do. So I just enjoy just working for the Lord, just putting my time in serving the Lord. I know you have your place, and you have your responsibility, and the Lord can bless you in whatever you're doing. And wherever you happen to be, the Lord can bless you for that. But I'm glad for the privilege to serve the Lord. I made a commitment to the Lord many years ago, and maybe I mentioned it already, but I'm trying to maintain that consecration that I made with God. I want to go to heaven so bad. That's my all of my life is built around one thing, and that's getting to heaven. That's the one thing that stays on my mind most of the time, is getting to heaven. Heard a message yesterday morning about seeking those things are above, setting our affections on those things above. But while we're here in this world, we're going to have to face some things in this world. We're in the world. We're in this world. And we know the rest of it says we're not of the world. But as long as we're in this world, and as long as we're living in this old flesh, we're going to have to face some things. We're going to have to face, and sometimes they're going to be hard things. And sometimes they're going to be disappointing things. Oh, one of the worst things I've ever had to overcome is some disappointments. Disappointments. Being disappointed in somebody or something or another. Those are hard to overcome. And then to other things that we have to face. Problems. What did he say? Peter said one something or another about strange things or something. And sometimes things are so strange, and then we hear things and we see things. Discouraging things. Depressing things. This is the world we live in, a world of much trouble and much confusion. And we've heard about that already today. And we all know it's the truth. But we're going to face things. And you and I, Jesus suffered for you and I, and I believe it said one place that we just need to arm ourselves likewise. You just as well to arm yourselves. If you're going to live for God in this world, you just as well to arm yourself. Because you're going to get into some battles. You're going to face some hard things if you live in this world very long. And there's going to be things come our way that we won't even know hardly how to handle. And there's going to be times that we'll be disappointed in people. And they're going to be disappointed in our own selves sometime or another. And so the Bible says, I quoted a scripture a while ago to somebody, that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. I remember years ago, I was down in southern Ohio in a tent meeting down there. In a kind of a hot day in August, if I remember right. And things weren't going very good, and the meeting wasn't going very good, and things just wasn't very encouraging at all. And I was down there in a dried up creek bed, way down off there in the woods somewhere, praying, seeking the Lord, telling him all about what I was facing. And the Lord says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And he said, you're not to the end yet, and you've got a lot of more things to endure. So we're going to have to endure some things. Going to have to put up with some things. We're going to have to face some things. And so we just as well to arm ourselves likewise and be ready to face whatever comes our way. Be ready to face it. I got a hold of a little scripture here in the 9th chapter of Zechariah. And it says here in the 12th verse, well, it says, turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. I thought about this little thought here and got it marked in my Bible. Turn you to the stronghold. Turn you to the stronghold. You and I are going to have times in our life that we're going to have something to turn to. We're going to have something to turn to. Turn to the stronghold. We need something strong that we can turn to. I know we can always plead God's mercy, and God is merciful. But when we're in a place to where that we don't just exactly know where we're standing altogether, sometimes it's hard to receive God's mercy. Sometimes it's hard to get a hold of the thought, well, I know God's merciful, but will He be merciful to me? Will He be merciful to me at this time that I'm going through? So you and I, we need a stronghold to turn to. Something that we can turn to and rely upon. Something that will sustain us. Something that we can put our trust and our confidence in. I know we could just say, well, we just look to the Lord. That's our stronghold. But that ain't my thought this afternoon. We need something that we can turn to. It says here, turn you to the stronghold. You prisoners of hope. Did you ever think about being a prisoner of hope? I never thought about that. I just looked at this scripture a day or two ago. And you know, we're actually a prisoner to hope. My hope is making heaven my home. My hope is finishing my course and my race. And that brings me into a place to where that I can't do just anything I want to do. I can't just take my own way in things because I am a prisoner to this thing of hope. My hope of eternal life. My hope of heaven. My hope of making it through. Is something that causes me to act different when I'm supposed to. But my thought is this afternoon, trying to get a little thought before us, turn to the stronghold. Something that when the bottom falls out, that I can look back on and rely upon and turn to. Something I'm turned to. And something that I can reach back here and get a hold of and present it before the Lord. Something that I can have faith in and confidence in myself. to know that I can present this thing for the Lord, and I know that God, what did he say? If we know that he hears us, then we have confidence in whatsoever we ask. If we know that he hears us, we have to live in a place to where we know that he's hearing us. If I don't know that he's hearing me, then I don't have much confidence whether where my prayer is really getting through or not. And I don't have much confidence whether God will really answer my prayer or not if I don't know that he hears me. So I have to have something another that I can turn to. And I can turn back and get a hold of this, turn to the stronghold. There's something strong that I can turn to. And I can bring it out here, and I can face my problem with it. I can face my trouble with it. I can face whatever that I'm called upon or what I'm exposed to. I can rely upon that. Hezekiah came to that place one time, didn't he? You remember he said the prophet came to Hezekiah and he said, you're going to die and you're not going to live. Get your house in order. You're going to die and not live. Well, Hezekiah had a stronghold that he could turn to. He turned his face to the wall, and he said, Lord, you know how that I have walked before you. That is a stronghold. That's a stronghold. That's something that he had that he could reach back and get a hold of it and bring it out. Here, I'm facing death. The Lord's told me I'm going to die, and I'm not going to live. He was able to turn to the stronghold, his life that he had walked before God. His relationship with the Lord. The way that he had conducted himself. The way that he had served the Lord. And he wasn't ashamed. He didn't stutter. He didn't have to wonder or doubt about it. He just turned back and got to that stronghold and said, Lord, you see and you know how I've been walking before you. With a perfect heart. With a perfect heart. Oh, that is the most strongest thing that we can have to turn to. And when we can reach back and get a hold of a life that we have lived and a relationship with God, a clear, definite, clear contact with the Lord, a clear, definite relationship with the Lord, a clear, definite experience with the Lord, that's a stronghold. That's a stronghold. Turn to the stronghold. Turn to that stronghold. Oh, then you can bring it right out. And Hezekiah said, Lord, you know how that I have walked before you with a perfect heart. Oh, it didn't take very long for that prayer to get through, did it? And you know the story. The Lord said, go back and tell him, I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. And I've heard his prayer. Something I can present to the Lord. Lord, you know how I've walked before you with a perfect heart. Lord, you know how I've been faithful to you in all my walks before you. How that I have walked in your presence and how that I have lived before you. This is something another is a strong hope in our own life. This is something we can depend on. We can have. What did the other scripture say over there? If our heart condemneth, then God is greater than our heart. But what did he say? If our heart condemneth not. If our heart condemneth not, then, and only then, can we have confidence in God. That whatsoever we ask of him, we receive of him. because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I'm going to tell you this afternoon that if you live a shoddy life, if you live a up and down life, if you live an in and out life, if there is such a thing, when the real trial comes and the real pressure is on and the real test comes along, you are not going to have much confidence in your own prayer. It's not that God is not a merciful God. It's not that God don't have mercy and answer our prayers and have mercy upon us. It's not that God is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But the thing is this, we receive, that Bible says, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And don't let that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. See what it is. It ain't because God don't have it. It ain't because God don't want to impart it to us. It ain't because that God don't want to help us. But if I don't have a stronghold, and I'm using that as a life lived before God, if I don't have that to rely upon, then I can't believe myself that God will do what I asked Him to do. I can't believe it. And therefore, we receive nothing from the Lord if I don't. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And we must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The Bible said different places when Jesus would come and ask somebody about healing, He'd say, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" See, we cannot believe for what we want, what we ask for healing or for our troubles or our problems or our disappointments or our sicknesses or our death or whatever we need God so bad for. I can't receive it because I've got condemnation on my heart. I don't have that clear relationship with the Lord. I don't know exactly where I stand with God. I'm kind of a little confused. Oh, may the Lord help us to get this little thought out before us today. Turn to the stronghold in time of need. And then that life that is lived by the grace and by the power and by the help of God will cause me, when I come down to face that thing, that I'll have faith to know that God is right there with me. I know He's there. Because I know He's there. Because His promises is to all, yea, amen. He'll stand by us. Oh, it's so good to know that you're right where the Lord wants you to be. Oh, you talk about a secure place. They talk about eternal security. That is eternal security. Is being right in the very will of God. Right in the will of God. Oh, I remember many times. I could relate many incidents that happened. I know when we first moved down to Kentucky way back in 67. Down in there and we just pulled up stake. But we had sought the Lord and prayed to God until we had clear, definite leadings from the Lord. And we go down there and we moving the furniture down there in the old gospel truck we used to have, and got down there and took one load down there and come back, and coming back up the freeway, and the motor blew right out of that old truck. Just blew up. Piston come right out of the side of the motor out into the freeway. The steam going everywhere. Hear the church the truck blown to the church, and here you've been muted and you've blowed the thing up, you know. But you know, we could just rejoice because we knew we was right where the Lord wanted us to be. We knew, we had sought God, we had prayed, we had waited on the Lord until the Lord made it so clear and so definite that that's what he wanted. And then we could go down there. Went down there and faced a lot of things. Well, if you're going to work for God, you're going to face a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you, everything's not going to work out just right. Just because you happen to be where you feel like the Lord wants you to be, it don't mean everything's going to work out just right. Many times it'll work out wrong, lots of times. But if you know that you're in the will of God, that is a stronghold. You can put right there, devil, I don't care how discouraging it is. I don't care how many trucks blow up, I know I'm in the will of the Lord. That's a stronghold. Oh, the devil can harass you, he can wallow you, and he can abuse you, and he can trample on you and depress you if you don't know that you're right where the Lord wants you to be. But oh, it's a stronghold. Went on down there and moved in an old rented house and moved out of our nice comfortable house and an old house and wasn't hooked up for the washers and all these kind of things. Lived there about a month and had to move out of that house and went down. Here we was, a few little people, and they'd take up a little offering. Offering me about $3 and they'd give me one, put two in the building fund. The Lord help us. But oh, I could just go on singing and praising the Lord because I knew I was where the Lord wanted me to be. That's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. Moved down to another house there and lived there sometime about in the middle of the winter and told the guy, if you ever sell this place, we'd like to maybe try to buy it. And we went and made a trip to Oregon, I believe it was, and came back, and he pulled up in the driveway right in the middle of the winter. He said, I sold a house. You got to move out. Right in the middle of the winter, no place to move. Here I was right in the working for God. I'd left my good secure place back in Ohio, had a nice little house there, and all convenience and all everything was just so everything going good, good congregation and getting good support, and I was just getting along fine. Here I'm down here and nothing seems to be going wrong. But I could still rejoice and look right the devil right in there. I know I'm where the Lord wants me to be. Oh, that's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. And it means so much for you and I in a problem that we face in life and the things that we will face and the things that we'll encounter. We need that strong. I know you could read that scripture and get something else out of it, but this is a little thought I got out of it. Turn to the stronghold. Turn to that stronghold. Pull it right out of the bag. Present it to the devil. Here it is, devil. The Lord told me to do this. I know He's with me. I know I have clear, definite leading from God. I obeyed the Lord, and the Lord approved that. And devil, you have no part in this. Old Brother Harrison, Brother John came up and where we was at, this side of Lexington, North Lexington there, and I was sitting there and with a piston and holding a piston rod in my hand. Brother Harris said, well, that won't take very much. That's just a little piece, you know, a small piece. I said, well, it ain't how it is, Brother Harris. I said, it's where it came from. That's the problem. But still, it didn't discourage us one bit. We weren't discouraged one bit because we knew. Why, if it had clear leadings, and I'd tear it, and I told her, I said, well, I need it too. And the Lord gave me clear leadings too. And we could go then and have a stronghold to present to the devil. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get in places if you're not really clear in your where you're at and in your relationship with God and in our experience with the Lord and our where we're living at for God and even in our moves and in our changes and our decisions that we make. I'm going to tell you, you're going to meet the devil out there. You're going to meet him right face to face. And he's going to appear right in your pathway. And if you don't have something, you can turn back and get a hold of and present it to him and say, devil, you have no part in me. Jesus said one time, here he come, he had nothing in me. Nothing in me. Devil, I'm in the will of God and I know where I stand. What about the time that David went out and faced the big giant? You remember? That's an old story, isn't it? I tell you, somebody 10 feet tall with all that armor, you're going to need something. You're going to need something, another, that you can reach back and get a hold of. You're going to have turn to the stronghold. And what did David? David had something, another, that could defy the giant with. He said, I was out there watching my father's sheep. And he said, a lion came down. And he said, in the name of the Lord, I went out there and slew that lion. And then he said, a bear came out. And he went out and slew it too. And he said, the same God that delivered them into my hand will deliver you also. See, David was a little man, but he had a lot of courage. And his courage wasn't in his own self. It wasn't in his own power. But he had a strong hold that he could reach back to. God was with me back there, and God is with me now. God was with me in that trial. Oh, that's why it's so important that we conquer every little trial that comes our way. That's why it's so important that we don't fall under any time. Any time there's something that agitating us or something that's interrupting our relationship with God or something that is hindering my walk with the Lord or something that I'm hung up on or something that's hindering me spiritually or something that's confusing my mind or something that's keeping me from having the victory. It's so important that we listen, as we heard this morning, to the Holy Spirit and work on that thing. Don't allow it to be around. Because it might seem like a small little thing, but when the giant comes, it'll look big. It'll be a big thing. It's so important that you and I be settled in the Lord, in our relationship with God. Got to be saved. Got to have I've preached this for 30 years. You've got to have an experience with the Lord that you know where you stand. I've got to know I'm saved. That's the first thing. That's the very first thing. The devil, when you come to the Lord to be saved, if you don't stand before God and however you go about it, some way, one another, however it may happen, but it must be something that I know the Lord saved me. I know God saved me. It's got to be something that it's got to be a witness, and I'm not talking maybe altogether some big outward demonstration or some kind of a different things happen, but it's got to, in your own heart and mind, you've got to have that assurance. I know that the Lord has saved me. And I've got to be able to witness to that and lift my hand without wrath or doubting. Because if you don't and I don't, the devil is going to harass us. He's going to abuse us. He's going to accuse us. He's going to sow doubts in our mind. He's going to torment us. You're not saved. You know you're not saved. You're not. Why, you know the Lord didn't save you. You just thought he did. But we need a clear experience with the Lord. Look the devil right in the eye. Devil, I know the Lord saved me. I know God saved me. Oh, I was just reading some things not long back, some discouraging things I was reading. And somebody questioning, you know, what about the teachings and the doctrine and what the saints teach and what they stand for. And questions was being challenged. It was being challenged. And I was reading about this, and I could look back. I said, well, I don't know about some of those old fellows back there, and I don't know about this fellow over here. I don't know what happened, if it happened, when it happened, maybe it happened. I don't know altogether. But oh, I knew one thing, that one time I was lost and God saved me. I knew that. I knew that. I knew that the 7th day of November 1958, God saved me. 57, everybody. I know God saved me. Now, I can't help what people say about the church or about the movement or about the old ministers or challenging this. That just flashed back in my mind. And my mind was trying to sort out some things and trying to get some things straightened out of my mind. And all of a sudden, it just came back to me so vividly. I know God saved me. I know God saved me. That is a strong hold. That's a strong hold. And tries to get you to wondering about this and wondering about that. But oh, we need a stronghold. Something we can reach back, turn to the stronghold. Get a hold of that. And just a couple of weeks ago this happened. And it just came back to me so clearly. I know God saved me. I know the Lord saved me. And I knew and went on and I know that God sanctified me. I know that. I know this. You can't tell me that I told one fellow that tried to talk to me about one work of grace and you get everything when you get saved. I said, you can't tell me that because I said, I know I've had the experience. I've had the experience. I know it. I know I was saved. I know when I got sanctified. I know that. That's a stronghold. And it inspires you. It gives you material to fight the devil with. And it gives you faith to trust in God. I know God heals people. I never forgot. I started trusting the Lord and didn't know nothing about trusting God. I heard so much about that lately. Some, well, they don't have faith, and maybe I'm sure there are people who don't have a lot of faith. Well, they don't understand. Well, maybe they don't. I'm sure they don't. I'm sure there are people who don't understand. And I'm sure people grasp things at different degrees and so forth. But I got saved. I just started trusting the Lord. I'm just ignorant. That's what they taught, and I thought you're supposed to do what they said. And that's what I did. But I was just trusting the Lord. And I hadn't been trusting the Lord for just a month. I didn't know what I was doing. I just wasn't sick at that time. It ain't hard to trust the Lord when you're not sick. But then my little child got sick. Real sick. And they've had to carry him home from school and just a little fella, and we just didn't know. We trust in the Lord, you know. We just, when we get sick, we just pray, you know. Well, that's what we done. Didn't even know how to agree in prayer, wife and I. And the little boy laid him down on the couch, and she got down there, and I went off in the bedroom. We praying, Lord, heal our child. That's all. Just heal him, Lord. Well, about 3 or 4 minutes, well, he got down the floor, and he was well. He was just well. You can't tell me about trusting the Lord. I know God heals people. I've seen it with my own eyes. And that's a stronghold.
Amen.
And how the Lord really showed me divine healing. Well, you've heard us tell this before, but I'll tell it again. When he healed your old sister Sharp, Brother Donald's mother. She was laying there in the bed and couldn't help herself. She couldn't even turn over. She had to be turned with a sheet. She couldn't eat. She was in great pain. And we all come down there and number met down that night without scheduling it. It just happened to be that way. God worked it out. And God came down there and they got around there and Brother McCoy and different ones and asked Sister Sharp, did she want to be healed or did she want the Lord to touch her or did she want the Lord to heal her? Well, she said, I want to be healed. Well, I said, I thought to my mind, now, I want to see this. You know, I believed. You know, I believed. I believed if you pray for people, they got healed. I believed that. But I wanted to see it. And so, they got down there and they had prayer. And then Brother McCoy, Esther said, do you want the Lord to touch you, or do you want to be healed? She said, I want to be healed. And Brother McCoy read her a tract, something about divine healing, something. And you know what they did? They went up there and they put that oil on her and they prayed. Now I'm over here in the corner, I'm watching. I'm going to watch this. I'm going to see if it works. And you know what happened? As soon as they got through praying, she said, told one of her sons there, said, go get my robe. I'm going to get up. And she hadn't been able to move. They'd been turning her in a sheet. Hadn't eaten anything for quite some time. And did you know what happened? And I said, right there and watch that. She got out of there. They took and put her robe on, and she had both legs off and rolled that old wheelchair up there beside of her bed, and she crawled right out in that wheelchair without a pain. She wasn't grunting and groaning. She had no pain. She was well. She was completely well. And told somebody, go fry me an egg. I want to eat. You tell me, that's a stronghold. So there's no question in my mind about divine healing. I know God heals people. I've seen Him heal broken bones. I've seen Him heal cancer. I've seen Him open blind eyes. I've seen Him raise the dead. I've seen these things. And that's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. I've watched Him. I've watched people trust Him and how they trusted Him and how they were faithful and how God stood by them and seen them right on through to the very end. I was just thinking last night about some of our old brothers went on the last few years. Dear old brother Alan, how faithful God was to him. Old brother Abbott, brother Stover, you just name who you want to be. Trusted God. Had faith in God, believed in God, and God seen them through to the very end. But they had a stronghold somewhere or another. When they come down to face the end, dear old Brother Gibson over there, Brother Lester, remember this, we was over there with him about a week before. I guess he lived one more week after he left over there or something. But we was there with him, and the poor man was suffering and having to go to the bathroom about every 20 minutes. We'd asked him, Brother Gibson, how is things with you? He said, that smile he used to have. He said, I've got it fixed. I've got it fixed. Amen. He had a stronghold he could turn to. See, turn back to the stronghold. When you come down to face the end, you're going to need a stronghold to reach back and get a hold of. Lord, you know how I've walked before you with a perfect heart. The Lord help us tonight. I don't know of a greater tool or a greater weapon to present to the devil than a holy life, a righteous life, a life lived without condemnation, free from sin. Paul came down to that place, didn't he? Oh, I want my testimony. The Bible said, one place, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. I want to die like Paul did. Paul came down to the end, and he knew it was at the end. And he said, the time of my departure is at hand. And I've had a little vision in my mind. I don't know where it came from or... don't think it's scripture. I know it ain't scripture or anything. But I just kind of have in my mind that Paul somehow or another was able to look out a window or something and look out there at that old chop block. And he knew that he was going to soon be out there. But he says, I am now ready to be offered. I have fought a good fight. He had a strong hope to turn to. See what I'm trying to say? He had something to turn to bring forward, facing death. He said, I have fought a good fight. One place he said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God. Another place he said, I am free from the blood of all men. I'll tell you, that's a strong hope to be able to look God in the face and say, Lord, I've preached everything you gave me. Lord, help us. I've been faithful to the Lord to deliver your word just like you give it to me. Lord, I have not shunned. I am free from the blood of all men. What a testimony. What a testimony. I read that and my heart smotes me sometimes. Can I really say that? I believe as far as I know. If I owed any man anything, I believe I would be trying to get to him this afternoon. I would try not to let the sun go down till I got that taken care of. Because I may die tonight. I may have a stroke. I may have a heart attack. Something may happen that I'm going to need God right now. And I don't want to have to be calling people in and trying to fix things up. That's bad. That's bad. Oh, that's why it's so necessary. As we said a while ago, to old Brother Zinn, they used to say his experience was right up to date. Right up to date. We need to keep our relationship with God right up to date. Right up to date. That's why these meetings are a good time. I was talking to a boy last night at the altar. Oh, it's the goodness of God that comes along and shows us where we're failing somewhere or another. If that's part of that goodness of God. Oh, I appreciate when God condemns my heart. I would hate to be in a place to where my heart didn't condemn me when I did something I ought not to do. When I said a harsh word. When I mistreated somebody. When I misjudged somebody. When I didn't do exactly like I ought to done, I'm so glad that the Lord smites my heart. He just smites me. God, when I can't get away with nothing, and I don't want to get away with nothing. But if I do a little something that's grievous to the Lord, my heart just smotes me. And I say, Lord, it hurts. Condemnation is very grievous to me anyway. And I say, Lord, teach me what I need to know. Lord, get the help to me I need in this thing, but Lord, lift it as soon as you can. Those he loves, he chastens, the Lord said. Just well to recognize it as a chastisement, you know. The Lord, I done this and I said that and I just didn't handle that right, and I just went a little bit too far on this particular thing here, and it condemned my heart, and the Lord is going to chasten you. You're going to chasten, and I take it as a chastisement. And you know, after a while, I pray, I can't know where the Lord is, he's gone somewhere, and oh Lord, where are you at, Lord? Where are you at, Lord? And then after a few days, when I feel like I've learned my lesson, then I see the Lord peep around at me. And he look around at me. And I always start feeling better when he starts peeping around at me a little again. Oh, don't you love the Lord? Aren't you glad that God won't let you get away with anything? Aren't you so glad when you say something or you speak to your wife in a tone you shouldn't, or your husband, or your children, or your brother, or you say something or something or another, and you just feel bad about it? I'm glad. I thank God every time I feel bad over something I ought not to do. But oh, if your heart condemneth not, then have you confidence. I have been so close to God at times that I felt like I could just ask God for anything. He'd just do anything I'd asked him to do. Just so much confidence and so much faith. Oh, when you're just living real clear with the Lord and you're just walking in the Spirit and you just God is so near and so real to you. You can just reach out and touch him almost. Oh, then you can just ask almost anything. And your faith will just mount up and you can just receive from God. But all Paul says, I have fought a good fight. And I have kept the faith. And this statement right here has always been a challenge to me. And he said, there is a crown laid up for me. Get a hold of that positive statement. There is a crown laid up for me. That's a strong hope. How could he say that? How could Paul say that? You know, well, we say, well, we hope we make it through, or we hope we go to heaven. Well, that is a hope in a sense. But the Bible said for us to assure our hearts before Him. Got to have more than just a little hope. It's just, I can't wait till I get, I may not have a deathbed. I've seen two or three people get saved recently. Waited till they got down. One of them was old and got cancer real bad. And God was so merciful to save this dear old soul. But that's an awful chance. That's an awful chance. That's an awful. And then I got the privilege to see another poor woman got brain cancer tumor. And never, she's been a woman, a kind of a mean woman. But I got to working with her and dealing with her and got to see God speak peace to her soul. But oh, that's awful to put it off that long, isn't it? That's dangerous. I'm hoping, I don't know where I get a chance to, but if I get to take care of the funeral, I've got some things I want to say to the family. Lord, help us today. Turn to the stronghold. Turn to the stronghold. Paul was able to turn to that stronghold, which was the life that he'd lived before God. Clear before God. Fought a good fight. Kept the faith. And he said, there is a crown laid up for me. But what did he say? Not for me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Who love his appearing. I know today, I don't know everybody's condition that's here this afternoon, but I know in my heart that you would not want the Lord to come unless you feel that you're really clear with God. You wouldn't want him to come. You wouldn't love for him to come. If you had condemnation on your heart and you hadn't got everything fixed up between you and God, you could not love for him to come. You'd be saying, wait a little longer, dear Jesus. Lord, help us today to have that stronghold that we can turn back and get a hold of. Right in the very, my greatest desire and what I am struggling to do is to live in the will of God, in the will of God. Want to be right in that place where he says, when it's time to go, that I can say, even come, Lord Jesus. I won't have to draw back when I come down to face the Lord. That's what I'm striving to do by the grace and help of God. And I know if we're saved at all, it'll be on the mercy of God. But get my thought this afternoon. It's not that God isn't merciful. It's not that God we don't trust. God is our refuge and our strength and our healer and our Savior. Our keeper and all those kind of things. But the thing about it is, If I'm not clear with the Lord, then I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith. That's just like coming to the Lord for help. When I come to the Lord for help, whether it's to be saved, whether it's to be sanctified, whether it's to get something help straightened out in my life, I must come before God with an honest heart. With an honest heart. When I make my consecration to the Lord, I must surrender all to God. I can't withhold one thing from the Lord and expect to receive what I'm asking for. And why is that? Why? I know God don't work over sin or anything like that, but here's the problem. For instance, if I come to present myself, my body to the Lord, and I'm not willing for God to have everything, then I cannot believe that God will do it. I can't believe it. See, I know God knows, see? I know God knows that I'm withholding something. And therefore, I know myself that God is not going to do this over that. And I can't believe it. And so, if I can't believe it, I can't receive it. So that's why, in all of our dealings with God, we have to be honest about the thing. Because not only does God not work over things, but I can't receive anything over something another. Do you see what I'm trying to say? I can't believe I'm going to get it because I'm not paying the full price for it. And I know God well enough to know that God ain't going to give it to me. And therefore, I don't get it. The Lord showed me that a long time ago. That's why some people come to the altar to be sanctified. They don't really get to experience because they're just not willing to go all the way with God. And therefore, they realize themselves that God ain't going to work over that. And they just kind of, I guess this is all there is to it. I'll just accept a substitute somewhere. But that won't be a stronghold, will it? Turn ye to the stronghold. Like I said, you may get something more out of that scripture than that. But that's the thought I got out of that scripture. We need a stronghold. A place that we can turn to. And when we come down there to face the enemy, and I'm going to tell you, if you're going to work for the Lord, I mention this again, if you're going to have a mind to work for God, you just well to arm yourself. You just well to arm yourself. And you need clear leadings from the Lord. And when you step out, we had that in Sunday school this morning, about them fellows there trying to cast them devils out. And the devil jumped on them all four. But if we go in the will of the Lord, and we go being led of God, then we're going to be able to look the devil in the eye. And they're not going to say, the God who how'd that scripture go? We adjure thee in who Paul believed in. So may the Lord bless us. I don't know if you got any out of this little thought or not, but we need a stronghold. We need something to reach back and get a hold of. So, young folks, build your life on something sound, strong, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Build up a good solid foundation for the days to come. Don't fool with it, because you're going to be something you're going to need as you go along through life. Turn back to. Pray for me. I want to go to heaven when I die.